Chapter 5, Appendix. The Justice of Responsive Force. In Part 3C above, I discussed the legitimacy of punishing aggressors, that is, the justice of responsive force, force that is in response to aggression or initiated force. As noted above, the material here was originally intended to appear in footnote 44 above. Due to its length, I include this material in this appendix. As noted in Dialogical Arguments for Libertarian Rights, Chapter 6, Defending Argumentation Ethics, Chapter 7, and The Undeniable Morality of Capitalism, Chapter 22, Hans Hermann Hoppe has defended the right to self-defense and retaliatory force in his Argumentation Ethics. For a recent book-length treatment of ideas related to Hoppe's argumentation ethics and my estoppel approach advanced in this chapter, see Pavel Slutsky, Communication and Libertarianism, Springer, 2021, and further references in these chapters. Others have previously recognized the justice of using force against one who has used force. Law professor Lawrence Crocker writes, quote, "Suppose that A and B are shipwrecked on a deserted island. A makes use of the only firearm salvaged from the wreck to force B to build him a shelter. If B gains control of the gun, it will not be unfair for B to use it to force A to return the favor." End quote. Libertarian philosopher John Hospers opined that when an aggressor initiates force, quote, "the victim is entitled to respond according to the rule the use of force is permissible, that the aggressor himself has implicitly laid down," end quote. According to Herbert Morris, quote, "if I say the magic words, take the watch for a couple of days, or go ahead and slap me, have I waived my right not to have my property taken, or a right not to be struck, or have I rather, in saying what I have, simply stepped into a relation in which the rights no longer apply with respect to a specified other person?" These observations find support in the following considerations. The right is that which gives rise, when infringed, to a legitimate claim against another person. What this suggests is the right is that sphere, interference with which entitles us to complain, or gives us a right to complain. From this it seems to follow that a right to bodily security should be more precisely described as a right that others not interfere without permission. And there is the corresponding duty not to interfere unless provided permission. Thus, when we talk of waiving our rights or giving up our rights, in such cases we are not waiving or giving up our right to property nor our right to bodily security, for we still, of course, possess the right not to have our watch taken without permission. We have rather placed ourselves in a position where we do not possess the capacity, sometimes called a right, to complain if the person takes the watch or slaps us." End quote. Or as Hegel wrote, quote, "the injury, the penalty, which falls on the criminal is not merely implicitly just, as just, it is eo ipso, his implicit will, an embodiment of his freedom, his right. On the contrary, it is also a right established within the criminal himself, i.e. in his objectively embodied will, in his action. The reason for this is that his action is the action of a rational being, and this implies that it is something universal, and that by doing it, the criminal has laid down a law which he has explicitly recognized in his action, and under which, in consequence, he should be brought, as under his right." End quote. Thus, under Hegel's philosophy, quote, "when a criminal steals another person's property, he is not only denying that person's right to own that piece of property, he is denying the right to property in itself." End quote. Charles King, discussing the moral acceptability of using force against force, states that when another initiates force, quote, "With him we are returned to the first stage state of nature, and may use force against him. In so doing, we do not violate his rights, or in any other way violate the principle of right, because he has broken the reciprocity required for us to view such a principle of rights as binding. In this we find the philosophic grounding for the moral legitimacy of the practice of punishment. Punishment is just that practice which raises the price of violation of the principle of right, so as to give us all good reason to accept that principle." End quote. Or as Locke writes, quote, "In transgressing the law of nature, the offender declares himself to live by another rule than that of reason and common equity. And so he becomes dangerous to mankind, every man. By the right he hath to preserve mankind in general, may restrain, or where it is necessary, destroy things noxious to them, and so may bring such evil on anyone who hath transgressed that law, as may make him repent of the doing of it. A criminal who, having renounced reason, the common rule and measure God hath given to mankind, hath, by the unjust violence and slaughter he hath committed upon one, declared war against all mankind, and therefore may be destroyed as a lion or a tiger, one of those wild savage beasts with whom men can have no society nor security." End quote. Other quotes can be listed briefly here. Tibor Makan, quote, "If someone attacks another, that act carries with it, as a matter of the logic of aggression, the implication that from a rational moral standpoint the victim may, and often should, retaliate." End quote. Jan Narveson, quote, "Those who do not want peace, or want it only for others in relation to themselves rather than vice versa, are on their own, and may in principle be dealt with by any degree of violence we like." End quote. Rasmussen and Den Yule, quote, "When someone is punished for having violated others' rights, it is not the case that the criminal has alienated or otherwise lost his rights. Rather, it is the case that the criminal's choice to live in a rights-violating way is being respected." End quote. Randy Barnett, quote, "It has been noted that one who wishes to extinguish or convey an inalienable right may do so by committing the appropriate wrongful act and thereby forfeiting it." End quote. Others are collected at Kinsella, Quotes on the Logic of Liberty.